I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
NASA is describing this as one of the most complex missions ever. Like Artemis 2, you'll see four astronauts launch on the Space Launch System rocket and Orion spacecraft, but the mission involves two other launches. In low Earth orbit, the astronauts are going to be testing Orion's docking capabilities with two commercial lunar landers. One will be a version of SpaceX's massive Starship spacecraft. The other lunar lander is being designed by Blue Origin, which plans to send it to space on its New Glenn rocket. But last month, one of the company's New Glenn rockets exploded on the launch pad during an engine test. NASA officials are helping the company investigate the problem in hopes of getting New Glenn flying again soon, but they're also looking at the possibility of finding a different rocket to deliver Blue Origin's lunar lander to space. The U.S. is really moving fast. They want to land astronauts on the lunar South Pole in 2028.
That's a phenomenal program, still moving forward, part of the NASA project, part of the Trump project. And Artemis 3, as you were hearing in that report, they're still looking at getting us to the moon again. Artemis 3, planned originally as the first crewed lunar landing of the Artemis program since the Apollo 17 in 1972. This time, the lunar South Pole. So we're moving closer to that. It is exciting. And, of course, then there's the talk about Mars. And it's not just going to those planets and everything and establishing what we can or cannot do. It's also making sure security issue for what we can do in space regarding other countries, China, Russia, maybe North Korea, using satellites trying to hurt U.S. citizens or the rest of the world. So there's a lot at stake still behind the scene here. By the way, speaking of our enemies, President Trump has issued a statement to Iran. Of course, we did respond to them shooting down that Apache helicopter, both crewmen surviving. And in fact, the drone landed in the craft between the two crew members. Thank God it did not explode. But they did crash into the ocean. They were safely rescued, and Trump made sure there was payback. We hit some of the targets in Iran, as we should. But his statement to Iran now is, the time for talks is over. Act now or pay the price. Act now or pay the price, and don't think he doesn't mean it. I want to share this with you. This is the kind of hypocrisy and the idiocy that's happening. There was a knifeman, let me put it that way, that attempted to behead someone in Belfast, been arrested, took place in North Belfast, Northern Ireland, in the United Kingdom. The attacker, identified as a 30-year-old Sudanese national, decided he was going to take someone's head off. And in fact, is according to some statements, he clearly said, I'll kill you. And then later told detectives, I've killed someone. I don't know if they are dead. Well, they didn't know how bad he did or did not warn them. Then there were rioting actions inside the streets. And Prime Minister Starmer responded to those riots with a warning. And he called the riot scenes shocking, completely unacceptable. He's not calling out the guy that tried to carry out a beheading. This is how they have already destroyed the culture in Britain and the United Kingdom. He's not calling out the guy that tried to carry out the beheading. He's calling out those who are rioting in the streets because of it. Now, I understand, we still want to have peace in the streets. But if you're going to condemn the rioters, why don't you step up and condemn the guy that tried to behead someone? They have been radicalized by Muslim infiltration, and it is changing the culture and the look of Germany, England, and other European nations. I had warned you about this. I said, keep an eye on what happens in Europe. It will try to happen here. As I told you yesterday, in case you missed yesterday, you missed yesterday's program? So you didn't hear about the Islamist running for mayor of Carrollton, Texas, and says he hates the U.S. troops, he hates America, and yet he wants to be elected mayor? And we're allowing this kind of rot to happen right in front of us under freedom of speech? Which I'll have to defend freedom of speech, but at some point, you got to stand up and protect what we have. All right, welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA, June 10, 2026. Larry Connors USA with you every Monday through Friday right here from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air right now, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble, or Facebook. We give you news, analysis, commentary, and education. You will leave this hour with more knowledge than you have as we begin each hour. That is a guarantee. Hold me to it. And in fact, coming up later, my guest, a mother of two children, had to leave the U.S. and go to Italy to get life-saving treatment for her children. Why? Because of the way our government has restricted some procedures that are perfectly safe if they're carried out properly. Now, RFK Jr. has indicated he's going to start loosening a lot of these restrictions, but this mother has her own story to tell about she had to leave the USA to go get help for her children because she could not get it here in this country right now. We will get into that in more detail for you as we move forward. There is good news that came out of Congress, and President Trump has signed it. The $70 billion legislative package funding ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and Customs and Border Patrol Protection through 2029. So it funds this operation for the remainder of Trump's term. It was a close vote when it came to the House, only two votes difference. That's how big the midterm elections are. And our border czar, Tom Holman, says, yes, now that we have this package, you can expect more arrest of illegals.
When this reconciliation passes, that $70 billion will fund us to the end of the Trump administration. You're going to see targeting increase. You're going to see arrest increase. We're also going to be able to pay our vendors, our detention facilities, our medical contractors. So that means that we're going to do a lot more. We're already, you know, making historic arrests under President Trump, as he promised the American people. But with additional funding, we're going to keep our foot on the gas and keep moving forward.
Going to keep moving forward. Keep our foot on the gas. Speaking of that, that's affecting inflation, and I'll come back to that a little bit later. But I first want to return to our border czar Holman and a statement he said which should resonate.
I don't want to meet another angel mom or dad. I don't want another angel mom and dad. I want governors and mayors and members of the Hill to agree with me. If you're in the country illegally, and you're a public safety threat, this should be a nonpartisan issue. Let's all work together. For instance, in New York City, Rikers Island, when you have an illegal alien booked in Rikers Island, why did they book him in Rikers Island? Because they obviously perceive him as a public safety threat. So if he's a criminal alien, he's a public safety threat, why in the world would you not work with us to not only remove him from the community, remove him from the country, which makes those streets safer? And as far as the local police, Governor Holcomb made a statement, she wants local cops to do local cop stuff. Well, local cops are doing a lot more local cop stuff because they're arresting the same illegal alien over and over and over again because we don't have access to them and remove them the first time.
Over and over again. And in the blue cities, sanctuary cities, and blue states, sanctuary states, they don't really care if you're here illegally. Even if you've committed a heinous crime, they'll find a way to kind of get you back out on the streets again. They're putting you and your family at risk on a daily basis. They're putting their own families at risk, but they do not accept that fact until it hits home for them. And I do not want even the far left to have a case where they lose a member of their family. But it might take something like that for some of them to turn around and realize we're wrong about what we've been doing. As you know, we have the nation, our nation, on our 250th anniversary, is hosting the World Cup. Countries from all over the world coming. And this obviously raises security issues. Will a World Cup refugee, I should say referee, let me correct that, a World Cup referee from Somalia was denied entry into our nation. His visa travel was denied because once we started processing, vetting, which would never have happened in the Biden administration, they had concerns of his linkage with several terrorists in other places of the world. So they said, no, you're not going to be allowed to come in. Got sent back to Somalia where he was greeted as a hero. And Secretary of State Rubio makes it clear, look, we've got even Iran sending some athletes to participate. They're going to be starting in Mexico, then see where they go from there. He says, we're not against the athletes unless they're members of the IRCG and they're actually terrorists posing as athletes, which certainly could be happening. But he says, we're trying to have the World Games here and Mexico and Canada, but at the same time protect our country. Secretary Rubio.
The Iranian team has chosen to stay in Mexico as opposed to the United States. In the beginning of the match. And we have no problem with the athletes, as we stated earlier, or their support staff. But what we're not going to allow is for them to embed in their delegation a bunch of people that we know have nothing to do with athletics and have ties to the IRGC or things of that nature. So we were going to watch that very closely, and we'll continue to watch that very closely. Good. But by and large, I don't anticipate that problem with any other country.
Good. And he's talking about, again, referees like the one from Somalia we sent back. Staff members with the Iranian team, how many of them are actually connected to the team and their principal job is to help the team or to help further Iranians' terrorist cause against the U.S. or wherever they might be. As he pointed out, they're starting in Mexico. We don't know. We'll see how the games play out. By the way, the U.S. men's national soccer team opens in Friday in Los Angeles against Paraguay. And yet there are thousands of unsold seats in Inglewood, California, where this is being held. Reportedly, FIFA's own direct ticketing website shows more than 100 plus, and there might be even more than that from other sites. More than 3,000 tickets still apparently up for sale. Why are they not being taken for the 69,000-plus seat stadium? Well, the cheapest tickets range from $900 to $1,000. Cost is a factor. The cheapest general sales tickets for the final are four times as expensive as they were for the final in Qatar in 2022. The most expensive ticket for the final in 2022 was about $1,600. This year, 11,000. So money is part of it, but also fear, security, no doubt about it. Congressional investigations continue into the Southern Poverty Law Center. The DOJ indictment indicting the Southern Poverty Law Center that it was sending donations, laundering them to hate groups so they would have a boogeyman to fight against and raise more money. Texas Congressman Gooden to the Southern Poverty Law Center CEO.
During the Biden-Harris administration, the SPLC included many mainstream conservative groups in their hate map, including Alliance Defending Freedom, Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA, and Family Research Council. To your knowledge, did the SPLC include Antifa, which is an actual domestic terrorist organization, in its hate group?
We have a list that identifies groups based on the statements that they and their leaders make.
Is Antifa on your hate map?
Again, as I said earlier, Congressman Gooden.
So they're not. Antifa. Let me ask you this. Has SPLC labeled the radical left group Jane's Revenge as a hate group? This group has publicly taken responsibility for vandalizing and destroying pregnancy resource centers and Catholic churches since May 2022. Have you all designated that on your hate map?
Congressman Gooden, if you've looked at our hate map, you know the criteria we set for designating groups.
So destroying pregnancy resource centers and Catholic churches would not qualify as hate under your definition. You guys are okay with that. But God forbid Turning Point holds a rally. That's considered hate, but destroying a Catholic church or a pregnancy resource is not. Just to be clear, help me understand.
The SPLC establishes its own criteria, and any other group can create its own list. Under our criteria, we've designated those groups based on what they've said.
Under your criteria, Turning Point USA, Family Research Council, and other conservative Christian groups are considered hate groups. But Antifa and Jane's Revenge, that burns down Catholic churches and pregnancy resource centers, those are not hate groups. It sounds like you're really proud of that process. I'll move on because I frankly think it's disgusting. And you know what? I'd actually ask for you to add me to your hate map. Yeah. I'd be honored to be on it. It sounds like it'd be in great company.
Yeah, and add Larry Connors, USA. Dr. Alveda King testifying before Congress about SLPC going against Christians.
I reject hatred. I reject white supremacy. I reject any ideology that seeks to elevate one group of people above another. But I also reject the notion that Americans who hold traditional Christian beliefs should be treated as threats or terrorists simply because we disagree with a prevailing political thought. Today, I still have a dream. I dream that one day we will move beyond black power and white power and embrace God's power and human dignity. I dream that Americans will one day see each other not as enemies, but as neighbors. I dream that we will hear each other, see each other, and recognize that every human life has value from the womb to the tomb and beyond.
Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King. Coming up, Screwworm. You know anything about it? I was listening to Chris Arps and Speaker Tim Jones, who have a program on before me every day. I was listening to them yesterday, and both of them admit they didn't. But what a screwworm. Well, I can tell you, I dealt with screwworm growing up in Texas and catching it in cattle and doping them up, newborn calves, so they did not get screwworm. I'll explain that for you. And is it going to threaten our beef supply in the nation? Coming up later before we wrap up this hour. But up next, a mother telling her story that she had to leave the U.S. to save her children. She could not get them the medical care they needed in our country because of the laws in this country as it currently exists. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gazoons height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MeguiarMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm chasing tail lights, straight as a crow flies, hunting just a standard country road. I've got a shotgun, it's riding shotgun, and we're both fixing to unload.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You might recall some years ago a story of a young boy, 3 years old, Chad Green. He needed a particular chemotherapy to fight cancer. He'd been treated in Nebraska Medical Center in his hometown of Omaha when he was 21 months old. They said the leukemia was in remission, but then they wanted radiation treatment for further protection. It was painful for Chad. His parents decided they were going to take him elsewhere, so they went to Mexico and got him additional medical help that he could not get here. Recently, a Tulsa boy involved in the same kind of thing. Chad Green did not survive. The Tulsa boy still fighting for his life. My guest has children who've been diagnosed with a rare and often fatal genetic disease. And she was not able to get what she needed here for her children, so she went to Italy. Kendra Riley, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
There is, as you know, Congress has the Right to Try for Individualized Treatment Act underway that would give patients access to cutting-edge gene and cell therapies. If you want it for yourself or your children, that would have made a difference in your case or not?
Absolutely would have, yes. Instead of having to move our family overseas for 6 months during the pandemic, we could have gotten that treatment here in the U.S. So that's what this legislation will do for other families like ours.
Well, give me some background on your children and what you were dealing with at that point, and then making that decision you're only going to get the treatment you need in Italy.
Yeah, so two of our three daughters were diagnosed with a really rare terminal illness called metachromatic leukodystrophy, or MLD. A very aggressive disease. Within 3 months of my first daughter's diagnosis, she lost the ability to walk, then talk, then became tube fed. When we got our second daughter's diagnosis a few months later, thankfully found out she was young enough as a newborn with zero symptoms to get a treatment that could potentially save her life. For our other daughter who was symptomatic, it was too late. Come to find out, the treatment that could save our youngest daughter's life was only available in Italy. So we had to raise about $500,000, move our family to Italy during the pandemic, and get her this treatment. Unfortunately, the original Right to Try bill didn't cover this type of treatment.
Yeah, you had to raise the money for it because you're going out of country, got to live there and everything. You had two daughters. Are both of them still alive and dealing with this?
Yes, but our oldest daughter, who originally got the diagnosis, she is now 8 years old in hospice at home, takes 11 medications a day to stay pain-free, and we're not sure how much longer we have with her. We're amazed, quite honestly, that she made it to eight. Whereas our daughter that got the treatment in Italy is a normal, happy, healthy, thriving six-year-old that is going to school, singing Taylor Swift, running, doing gymnastics, and all the things. You'd never know.
Well, praise God for that, and our prayers for you and your other daughter. And I cannot,
yes,
as a parent of two daughters, parents of children, I know it's ripping at their heart to hear your story, but the issue here is, if you wanted the treatment, but it wasn't being authorized here, you had to go elsewhere. The idea of the right to try for individualized treatment could have made a big difference for you, and may or may not have affected what the outcome is for your oldest daughter.
Absolutely, yeah. If something like this would have been available in time, we could have potentially saved both of them.
Well, I know a lot of parents out there, and maybe parents for the future that are listening. You don't have kids now, but at some point you will. And so what if your child comes down with something like this? And yeah, you know it's available, but it's not available in the USA, yet it's being practiced successfully elsewhere. This new bill might give you that opportunity. And as far as what would you have to say to them, hopes of getting this bill all the way through Congress in time to maybe save their children's lives today or the future?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just children, any rare disease patient, really. I mean, science and technology is moving so fast, but bureaucracy isn't up to speed with it. This bill helps with exactly that and makes sure that government red tape isn't going to prevent you from accessing a treatment that could save you or your child's life.
It's been introduced, co-signed in the House by Congresswoman Diana Harsberger, and then in the Senate, Ron Johnson. It basically is to create a pathway for patients to have individualized treatment that often fall outside the FDA traditional approval process. A lot of us thought, and I still do think, it may still be in the process of happening, that with JFK now heading up our Department of Health, that we would have this happen a lot faster and it would rush through.
Yeah, I mean, he's been making so many positive changes. We did meet with Secretary Kennedy in December when he did add our daughter's disease to the recommended federal newborn screening process. So that was a huge step forward for the leukodystrophy community. And I know he's doing so many great things. I can't imagine this won't be added to the list.
And when you hear stories like yours, I think, you know, all of us should again hold our children close and thank God for their health, which I do on a daily and nightly basis. And I know that you're dealing still with one child that, as you describe, is just like any other child. And another one, at her age of 8, she's hospice care.
Yes, yeah. And that's what I say about, you know, Right to Try 2.0 in general. It's the difference between a child in hospice and a child in the classroom. And this is going to give hope to so many families instead of bringing them heartbreak without it.
Well, to that extent, what words of encouragement do you have for the parents out there that have a child and they've already been told you cannot get that treatment, has not been approved by the FDA in our nation?
I would say that, you know, send your support into Congress for this bill. Like, this is a pathway for a really quick way to access treatments that you wouldn't otherwise have been able to, and you won't have to move your family out of the country to do it now if this passes. So it's going to be a game changer for sure for any rare disease patient.
You're listening to Kendra Riley, who had daughters diagnosed with MLD, very rare, often fatal genetic disease. The daughter that's doing better now, since we're talking about genetic disease, is there a concern as to when she has children?
You know, there is. We don't know what the future holds for her in that regard. She was the 32nd child in the world to receive this gene therapy treatment. So a lot of our process with her moving forward and developing each day is looking towards the other families that came before her and how their children are doing. The second child in the world that received this same treatment is a thriving 16-year-old boy who plays basketball and is about to get his driver's license. So we are very hopeful for her future.
So it's still so recent, your daughter being the 32nd, and you talk about the second one, none of them have reached adulthood yet and have been fathering or parenting, mothering, rearing and giving childbearing to children of their own at this point. So we don't know what the future holds, right, do we?
Right, yeah. And I mean, the gene therapy she received, part of that whole process was a couple days of chemotherapy. And I think that's the biggest concern with becoming a parent for her in the future is how did that affect her internally? Mm-hmm. So as she develops, you know, it's just doing those regular checkups with doctors and making sure everything internally is working as it should.
I would tell you on behalf of this audience, our prayers are with you and your family. And
thank you so much.
And the most... the prayers for your child that's in hospice care already at the age of 8 and your other child that we pray they continue to develop normally and are perfect in the future for themselves mm-hmm. and their families. I thank you for you taking the time to just tell us your story.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Kendra Riley. The bill is again titled The Right to Try for Individualized Treatments Act. If you make the decision, I want my child to have this opportunity. Don't make me try to have to raise money to go elsewhere. Again, going back to Chad Green on his story, that was back in the 70s. And we're still at this point where if you're going to get some treatment that is obviously being used elsewhere and successful, you're going to do everything you can for your child. Getting this act passed would free the hospitals and doctors from facing lawsuits if something goes wrong with it. Because in some cases, it might still be experimental. But if that's the last chance for your child, if it's the last chance for your child, I'm not going to tell you what you should do, but I'll tell you what I would do, and that would say, yes, we want to do everything we can. Again, keep Kendra Riley and her family in your prayers, will you? By the way, drug prices fell for the third straight month in May. Trump said he'd push lower costs at the pharmacy counter. And according to the latest stats, drug prices did drop off again. Coming up, we're going to be dealing with issues like Graham Plattner and how the Dems still hold tight to him.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side. A St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light.
Roxanne.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
First, I want to say that the food supply is completely safe, that this is not a disease or a virus. It's a fly that lays an egg in an open wound of an animal, and it can be treated immediately. In fact, the first case that was reported last Wednesday that we confirmed in South Texas, that calf is now healthy, on his way to recovery, and is going to be just fine. So that's the first thing. The second thing I think that's important to understand is where we are in our containment effort on the New World screwworm. We had completely eradicated this back in the 1960s. So a lot of the people who are watching who are from the farm or rural America know this, that in the 1960s, it was pushed back into Mexico, then into Central America, and back past the Darien Gap in South America. So for 60 years, this has not been anywhere near our country. But not surprisingly, starting in about 2021, with the open border policies of the last administration and the millions of illegal immigration that was happening through South America, Central America, the screwworm began to move with the people. They were moving with them, their livestock. So in 2021, it hit Central America. 22, 23, it hit Mexico. And in 24, it began to make its way towards Texas.
We're talking about the screwworm. Now, again, many of you might not be aware of what that is. I do personally know because I was working with my grandfather at his ranch in the 60s, late 50s and 60s, and we were often, newborn calves are most susceptible for getting this. And treating screwworms at that time was a hands-on task. Literally, we had to rope the calf, get them down, sometimes scrape the larva from the animal's wounds, and then put a chemical treatment on it. We called it a dauber. It was a purple color. So once you daub the calf, you could tell that we've already treated that newborn calf, normally at their navel, because the blowflies would get in and lay the worms, which would then begin to eat the animal from the inside out. That was a common practice all across Texas, up through the mid-1960s and a little bit later than that. The flies would target any open wound. If cattle were branded, they would go to that. If you dehorned some cattle, they would do that. And certainly newborn calves with their navels, they were always exposed. I don't know how many times I'd go at my granddad and would round these cattle up, separate the calves from the mothers, which was not easy because mama cows don't want you messing with their calf. I remember one time in particular, we had to get the calf and get it inside the horse trailer and close the gate. And granddad's trying to treat the calf inside the horse trailer. Mama cow's outside trying to climb into the trailer with him. If she got inside that trailer, I didn't know what was going to happen to granddad. And he keeps shouting at me, "Get her away, get her away." Well, I'm hollering and shouting and waving my rope. She's paying no attention to me. We finally got that calf treated and then went going through the herd looking for other newborn calves. Rope them, tie them, hold them down, daub them, as we call it then, with this purple mixture of chemicals. that we're treating them and protecting them. And if you got that purple, I mean, after a day of doing that, you got it all over yourself, and it stayed with you for days. It didn't wash off that easily. But again, the idea was to protect them from screwworms. Now, you were hearing in that case from our Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins about how this has manifested itself once again in our nation, because we did have it eradicated, and now it's back. We eradicated it basically in the mid-60s, maybe a little bit after that time. We're talking about the screwworm, which is a part of a species from a parasitic blowfly who lays the larva on living tissue of warm-blooded animals. Often you might recall call them maggots. And the maggots of many fly species will eat flesh, infesting wounds and attacking healthy tissue. A lot of cattle were lost to that until they started daubing them and treating them that way, but we got rid of it. But you heard Brooke Rollins point out, but it's back, and it's part of because of the Biden open border policy. Now, here is again where you're going to hear the left cry out, oh, you want to blame it all on Biden. I'm looking at a piece from The Hill, which is a leftist-leaning publication. Headline, Trump officials play Biden blame game as screwworm spreads. Based directly off of what you were hearing her say. And they're all, they say, according to The Hill publication, the familiar playbook, blame former President Biden. But it is back, as you heard from Brooke Rollins, our Ag Secretary. And the lax immigration policies do occur. The blowflies have either attached themselves to the illegals coming across the border, maybe pets if they're trying to do that, or they're getting close enough to the border, then they cross the border anyway. Listen, a blowfly, just like a rabid skunk, does not recognize a state, county, or national line. They're going to cross if they can. But the illegals coming across were carrying diseases in many cases that we pretty much have wiped out in our nation. And they were not being checked for that before they were let into the country, much less vetted to see if they might be terrorist activities. And Rollins is pointing the blame directly at Biden. To read her statement, under the last administration, with a massive movement under the open borders policy, the cartel, so forth, that's when the screwworm began to make its way back up through America, hitting Mexico in 2023 and moving its way to North Mexico in 2024. And of course, now it's on our Texas border and once again showing up in Texas cattle all the way up into Missouri. Now, again, the statement she's making is that our beef will be protected because we're on top of it. But we shouldn't have to be dealing with it. I told you previously, not that Biden cared, but he had no idea the damage he was doing to our country by his open border policy. Here is another example. It's not the worst of the worst. That would be children that got trafficked into our nation that Biden basically served as a pedophile pipeline to get children into our nation to go to pedophile dens, never to be seen or heard from again. And again, I ask, how in the hell can you sleep at night when you know you're responsible for that? And that does not include just Biden, not just his administration. Every leftist Democrat out there, or even so-called conservative, who says, well, letting them in, they can have a better life. Yeah, but they come legally. And then we have contact with them. We don't know where 400,000 children are that came into our country. We don't even know where they are. We're still trying to track them down and find them, if they're alive. Rescue them. And we have been doing that. But unfortunately, it's going to happen too late for some. It's like the movies where someone's going to die if someone doesn't get there quickly, and then suddenly at the last second, someone shows up and saves their life. It will happen too late for some. Graham Plattner, of course, with the help of the Democrats, ended up winning the Maine primary to run against Susan Collins in Maine. Even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez out of New York admitted that the Senate candidate, Graham Platner, is hard to stomach because of his past and his Nazi tattoo and thinking and saying, oh, I didn't really realize what that was. You're an idiot. You're an idiot if you believe that statement. And a lot of the left was just willing to, it's a one-off, let's just let it go. And all the other things he's been involved in. Sexual things that basically were targeting women, not his wife. That is, again, an issue between him and his wife, but it's a character issue. And then when he gave his speech accepting the nomination, apparently he basically, according to California Congressman Ro Khanna, he did so many things right.
His speech showed both humility and strength. He talked about Maine giving him grace, Maine giving him a second chance. He talked about the need to earn people's votes. So this was not an arrogant speech. He understands he needs to do work, and he understands they're giving him a chance at redemption. And yet he was strong. He said, I'm going to tax the billionaires. I'm not going to have these foreign wars. I'm going to take on the corporate interests and PAC money. I'm going to call for the release of the Epstein files. We have not had a candidate with that kind of clarity and strength run against Collins.
So you think that was clarity that makes him a good candidate to run against Susan Collins? And he was humble and giving humility and acknowledging, I've been given a second chance. Thank you, Maine, duped up Democrat voters. They are so anxious to replace Collins, and she's not a great Trump supporter. She's voted against the president numerous times. I'm not even sure she truly represents her constituency, but she is a Senate Republican, at least by name. And if you get Graham Platner in there, that's another seat lost to the Democrats. And when you got people like AOC admitting it, he's hard to stomach, but we need him. And you got Ro Khanna saying, yeah, he's got all this, but he's getting a second chance. Give the guy a second chance. Yeah, give somebody a second chance to screw our nation. And the Democrat Party has no problem with that. I don't want to hear lectures on morality anymore at any time in the future from the Democrats about whatever Trump did or did not do. And yes, I even condemned Trump on some things and other Republican candidates. But I don't need the left lecturing me when they're willing to accept a Nazi and a guy that's been involved in numerous sexual escapades, and probably still is. And it's just now being apologetic so I can win. I'll do anything to win. I'll show I'm humble, and I thank you for a second chance. Ro Khanna said his speech was full of apology and clarity. GOP analyst Shermichael Singleton sees it a different way.
Perhaps clarity, but not moral clarity. He talked about grace. He had several different lines about grace. What about the grace for the women who made serious allegations against him, reported in the New York Times? He talked about Susan Collins being corrupt. He talked about Susan Collins voting to give funding to ICE, taking our neighbors and putting them in unmarked vans. So now he's a warrior for minorities, the same guy with a Nazi tattoo, and he didn't know it was a Nazi tattoo. Or the only people I know who get Nazi tattoos on their chest are actual Nazis. This is going to be an election about character. Now, the voters in Maine may not like every single thing about Susan Collins, but Susan Collins is a woman who broke a lot of history, who does have bipartisan support, who has not always voted with her party. She's not a person who supports women merely when it's convenient for her, as we're seeing with Graham Platner, who I thought it was very ironic that he was surrounded by a ton of women in the midst of giving this campaign speech. This will come down to someone they know versus a guy who uses and says whatever he has to say to get his way, and I don't think it's going to work.
Shermichael Singleton, a GOP analyst. And it wasn't just ironic he's surrounded by women. They made a point to do that, show that women support him. And you look at all the fraud we've exposed that happened during the Biden administration and continues even now. Texas Congressman Gill.
Democrats are doing everything they can to keep as many of these illegal aliens, people who came into our country illegally, here as possible, and we don't need to look any further than the temporary protected status or TPS system. Temporary protective status, which was originally intended to be just that, it was intended to be temporary, a temporary reprieve from deportation due to specific circumstances. Yet the Biden administration abused it and has utilized TPS as a form of backdoor amnesty for over a million people who entered our country illegally. The numbers speak for themselves. At the start of the Biden administration, there were just about 410,000 TPS beneficiaries from 10 countries. In 4 years, that number increased by over a million to 1.4 million. About half of all current TPS beneficiaries weren't even residing in the United States until after Joe Biden took office.
Yeah, thank you,
Joe Biden. In other words, TPS was a vehicle for providing backdoor amnesty for the very people that the American people saw pouring into our border for 4 years and voted President Trump into office to deport.
Good. TPS, the first word, temporary status, temporary. Biden using the backdoor policy to get more of the men under temporary status. President Trump's talking again today that said, well, we're going to have to attack Iran again, and making it clear to them they're slow talking the talks. He knows it. We all know it. And he's warning Iran the time for talks is over. You're either going to act now or you're going to pay the price. He stated from the White House Oval Office earlier today that we're tired of them slow walking and stalling. They are either going to step forward and we're going to have a true peace or we're not. And he says, yes, we will attack again, Iran again. Stand strong. Stand strong. As always, thank you for listening. Tell your family and friends this is a program they do not want to miss. Larry Connors, USA. 6 to 8 every Monday through Friday. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.